Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 4, Volume 1, Text 62. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Parikshit Uvacha. Shanat Swastena Darvashi Vanamya. Vanamya Sri Hanumata. Raghuvira Panamaya. Samanitas Taralayam. Sri Parikshit said, in the blink of an eye, Hanuman became sober and bowed down to show respect to the sage amongst the demigods. Hanuman greeted him with reverence and brought him to the temple of Lord Ramachandra, the hero of the Raghus, so that Narada could offer obeisances. Why didn't I do this before? I have such a lack of vision of technological things. Each person has a different mind with different abilities and vision. I have no technological vision. And people are telling me to do this, and I've already got messages that people could hear me. And it's such a relief to be able to speak without the pots and pans. Okay. Om Gyanatimurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Saksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Chayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls. I'm back in my office now in Jikishori, and a few people came up and really fixed up a suitable place for my study and writing. And it's actually quite a small, dynamic place. Our patron, who was kind enough to get me a place and, I guess, built it and paid for it, Sachi Sukhan Kevivita, they also purchased the house next door. And a lot of you know from Peter Nagari. Most of you know, but some of you may not know, the very saintly and revered Mother Kalini, who recently got very, very ill, and they took her up here, and they gave her a house. I went there yesterday, and it's so nice. She has this downstairs, and she has like a little room where she's set up just like Eden Agri, and that nice kitchen and living room. And upstairs are two big bedrooms, and she has guests, and that facility combined with her making it a place of pilgrimage by her purity. So many people are coming to visit, and it's so nice. But yesterday, Kunjikishori was up with her children and Mangalarti, with her daughter, Radharaja and Kirti, their daughters, and I took lunch together. Radharaja cooked yesterday. Malati, very senior, one of the first devotees. She'll come up tomorrow and stay. Mother Arundhati, Pradyumna's wife, she'll come up next week. So it's quite a little pilgrimage place. It's real nice and very productive for me. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be here that much by traveling. Anyway, so we've been reading this wonderful story on Narada Muni's search for the topmost devotees, and we get to associate with the devotees and imbibe their qualities, and that's the purpose of Sangha. To come together with the proper personalities. And first-class Sangha are those who are more advanced, those who are like-minded, and those who have a relationship with. So we're getting good Sangha, we're getting the best Sangha as Narada. Because Sangha, association with a person, is not just their form. I always make that point that you can see someone outside and they're a stranger. You may be in their proximity, but that's not association. But association is when, in relationship or in observation, you see them exhibit their nature and personality, which inspires one to take up those qualities. So one way to have that association is through transcendental literature where these personalities are presented. Just like if you read the Mahabharata, the main characteristic of the personality of the personalities is that they're honest. honesty is the foundation of spiritual life. I gave a class yesterday up in Saratoga Springs, which is about an hour from here. Gopi Munjari, who used to live there, now lives in Washington. Her yoga studio that she created is still going and flourishing, and she has intensive teacher training. So it was a small but very, very dedicated group, and people were asking me questions as I gave class. How do you overcome those powerful impulses in the mind that seem to carry one away? And I said one thing is honesty. Because if you have honesty, if you have the sense of dharma or righteousness, then you could link the memory and attachment you have to righteousness with your impulse. For example, people make vows, right? I will not do this. So it may be a bad thing, but every time that impulse comes up to do the bad, that you do something that's improper, if one's made a vow, then he's immediately at the same time going to access the attachment he has to truthfulness, which would require that he doesn't do the thing that he promised not to do. How important is honesty? So how do you develop that honesty? Well, you read the Mahabharata, and you read these personalities who make great vows, and you read about these personalities who are honest, and it goes a long way in spiritual life. And generally, these ideas were culcated. The best way to culcate something is by affection. If you receive affection from someone who has expectations from you, or you have affection from someone who you emulate, this is child rearing. If you grow up in a family and the father is honest, and you see he's honest, and then that attachment to honesty will be in your consciousness, and that's the foundation of dharma. I remember when I visit this family in, I have this family in Delhi. Whenever I come in or go out of Delhi, I stay at their house. And one time, I had some extra dollars, and I didn't want to leave it. Take it out of the country, and I wanted to give it to someone who can, you know, keep it for me in India, is going to pick up the money for something. So I gave the person in the house, the younger brother, you know, he must be about 50, but I said, can you keep this dollars to me? And he just looked shocked. I said, what's the matter? He said, well, I'm in a conflict because you asked me to do service and you're a sadhu. But in our family, we will never do anything illegal, and it's illegal for an Indian to keep more than, you know, $300 in foreign currency in his house. You know, it was so, he's so honest. It's inculcated just from the family. Anyway, the point is we're following the qualities here of great devotees through the eyes of Narada. And we've been following now, we've been following now Hanuman. And we've come to the point, we've seen his wonderful qualities, and Prahlad is explaining to Narada, you have to see this Hanuman, and you have to see him. He has so much. Then he says, go see for yourself. But if you remember, what are the main qualities of Hanuman, the main qualities of Hanuman in relationship to Ram is that he's selfless and he has no personal desire. He has no personal desire. His desire is only for Ram. And that's the nature of love. The more one is like that, the more pure and loving he is. In relationship, you're focused on others. Vaishnava means for others. Even every Vaishnava text, the Bhakti Sandarbha, for example, when it's written, Jiva Goswami says, I am doing this for others. I'm doing this for others. So Hanuman, he stays in the world, even though Ram takes back Sugriva and everyone else, he stays in the world because that is the desire of Ram. And Hanuman does not want liberation. He's not interested. Liberation means to be free from pain, to be free from... He does not want that. He does not want anything that removes him from service to his Lord, no matter how trying and difficult that service is. And there's a satisfaction in that in the heart. I remember myself, you know, when I was in Vrindavan and teaching, and I would never really get to go out so much. But occasionally I would get to go out, and I would like that because I had a propensity for sharing spiritual knowledge, but I didn't really get to do it in that way. And one time I went up and I had a contact to meet the head of the Indian Military Academy, which is the West Point of India. And it's an extremely impressive institution, as impressive as any institution in America. Because you could have you could be third world, but you know, you can't. The army can't be third world because it has to defend itself. The Indian army is fantastic. And I went up there and I met the principal, and he actually wound up for me visiting there, retiring and coming to Vrindavan to stay in the ashram. So I remember I went up there by bus. I went back by bus. And I remember when I went back by bus, you know, I was sitting in the back of the bus, and you know how those Indian buses are—the dust and the old man with tuberculosis sitting next to you, coughing or whatever it is. But it was a certain satisfaction in heart. I was making sacrifice, but I was making sacrifice in relationships. I was making sacrifice in the service of my Guru Maharaj. So we see that with Hanuman. Now he's going to see for himself, and he's enthusiastic. And you're enthusiastic about the things that you like. So what is Narada as a devotee like? He likes to get good association. And there's nothing more that, that makes him happy than good association. You know, and that will be our glory if we develop that quality. Enthusiasm. And the enthusiasm has come to a level of expressiveness. He's saying, how wonderful, and he jumps in the sky. And then we get his vision when he sees Hanuman. And we see Hanuman, we see a devotee at the level of ecstatic love, at a very high and selfless consciousness, and we see what that person is doing. He's worshiping the deities with items from the forest. So what he has, he offers in love. And we know that the beautiful things that we can get for God, and we can offer in devotion to the deity, they're an expression of our love. But whatever you have, if that's your best, it can be offered an expression of love, and it will be accepted and appreciated as much as anything else, as long as it's given with love. Of course, if you have all the facility in the world, you give very simple things, but you can offer more. It may be an indication that you're not fully devoted. But if you can, the simple things, patam pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktapya, if you offer with water, flower, if you offer me with devotion, water, flower, and leaf, I will accept it. So he's offering things from the forest. And you can imagine the joy. He's Hanuman. He's the monkey devotee. And he's in the forest. And the joy of searching in devotion to offer what's suitable to God. And again, that sense of deity worship, the transformation. You're in the world of matter, and you transform matter into spirit by the mood of offering and love. You begin to see everything in relationship to God, which removes the illusory and separate aspect of the material energy, which tends to make things separate from God. So this is a meditation and consciousness. That's why the deity is very, very healthy for people. They have the proper way of centering it. But then it changes their consciousness to being God-centered. So he's worshiping, and at the same time, so he's giving the archetype bhakti transformation process. It's centered on God, centered on the deity, and he's listening to the, I think it's the demigods, glorify God, which he's experiencing as Rasayana. There's a book, Bhakti Rasayana. Rasayana means medicine, elixir, nectar. So it's tasty and reformatory at the same time. So this is what Shastra should be to us. We're getting medicine, but the medicine is the thing that has the taste of immortality, it has ras, it has flavor. And then he's offering prayers. He's offering prayers on his own, and he's hearing prayers from others, and then he's paying obeisances. And this is also a classic way of nourishing. The six Goswamis, Sankhya Purva Kanam Agana Nativi, they offer their obeisances in scheduled measurements. All glories to the presentation mode where I can mute the phone with others. I'm appreciating because I'm not hearing anything. But I'll unmute so you can ask questions. I think I have that power too. Not that I'm into the power, but the facility for preaching and sharing. She's paying it physically. The emotions come out, and then the emotions come out in actions. Those actions increase the emotion. So he's churning the ras, the ocean. And this is really spiritual life that Narada Muni is viewing at Hanuman. At a higher level, it's not a static experience. Prabhupada would joke, he said, it's an ecstatic experience. But he's churning this flavor of love, which is the essence of God and of God's world, which we have to enter. And when you enter, it's like swimming. And it's when you say swimming in an ocean, because, you know, it's pleasurable. There are waves that carry you, and then the ocean thing, then you go under the ocean. So it describes a varied experience of pleasure. Although the ocean is one thing, it moves you in different ways. We were just in Puri. Wow, there comes a big wave. You body surf on the big wave. Or you just stand there and have the water hit your body, or do you go underneath? So it's somehow an ocean. It's very vast with varieties of pleasure. And that's what relationship is. If you're actually swimming, even in the material sphere, if you're swimming in the ocean of love and affection, then you're relishing it in so many different ways. When I went to different relationships, you can have friendship, and there's conjugal, and there's reverence. A variety of relationships make one person's heart. And in an ideal life, material life even, one will swim in those relationships. There'll be gurus and fathers and teachers, and one will swim the ocean of reverence, and then there'll be very close people, and one will swim in the friendship of relationship, and then there'll be younger people of intimacy and equality, and then there's a relationship that's junior. You swim in that rasa. I don't know if Marite is listening, but when I was in Florida, Miami recently, and I met her mother and sister, and Cuban-American family, so it's very family-oriented. And they have love with their mother. They never even had one argument. So both sisters, the mother came in to meet me in a very respectful way, and both sisters were at the side. And there's so much affection and love. That's one relationship, and there's other relationships. So here, Hanuman, on the spiritual platform, is swimming by listening to the nectar of Krishna Katha, by heartfelt offering of the, whatever in the forest to his deities, and prayers, his own from his heart, hearing others and paying obeisances. And then, it's a very wonderful devotional state, and then he hears Narada chanting. And what is Narada chanting? Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram. So he's chanting, and Hanuman, he's, when you're in a spiritually emotional state or a material emotional state, it's very, very easy to move the heart. So he hears this, and he hears this chanting, and he jumps up and he catches Narada. he catches Narada by the neck, and Narada is somewhere in the sky. I don't know, he has mystic powers, but he's dancing. And usually when you dance with your feet and your hands. But he can't dance with his hands because the Hanuman is just pouring tears, and he's wiping his eyes. And then Narada says to him, I'm being blessed by seeing you, and by seeing you, I have become blessed. And this is also, we're learning the keys to spiritual life. If you associate with someone who is Sriman, who is blessed, who possesses the favor of the goddess Sri, the blessings of devotion also, and you attain the grace of such a person, then that qualities come to you. And that's what we're doing here by reading about these great devotees. Even if we hear the same things again and again and again, if we're attracted to them, then somehow or other that quality is coming to you. The more you do it, the more those qualities come to you. And that's why it's so important to have many traditions, stories of the saints that exemplify those qualities, and to share those qualities with those who are younger. And I mentioned also even in the Yoga Sutras, to bring the mind to the platform of lucidity. One of the meditations is to meditate on those who are selfless as an object of your meditation, knowing that their qualities will come to you. So now Narada begins to glorify Hanuman, and that's what happens. That's the verse we're up to. And when he glorifies Hanuman, a very wonderful thing happens. Which is kind of amazing. Well, not amazing. Then Hanuman, who's so effusive, then he becomes humble and shows respect to the sage. And this is one thing that can make even an ecstatic person very, very sober. He began to glorify him. And that saintly person, he becomes very, very grave, because he's in the mood of resisting the shift of glorification to himself, the shift of the mood of putting that person in the center. And then he becomes very, very grave, because he wants to be real serious and resist that. Therefore, when one is accepting worship, may one have to do that in a position of spiritual authority, then the person will become very grave, because he's meditating that this is not for me. This is for those whom I represent. And actually, the worship and glorification is meant for them. Otherwise, it's very, very dangerous. And he takes him to the temple. Narada offers obeisances, and Narada pays respect to the Lord in the Hanuman temple, and Hanuman carefully arranged for Narada to be seated, and Narada felt he had attained amazing treasure born from pure love for God, and therefore he picked up his veena to speak. He picks up his veena to speak. This is nature of bhakti. When devotion is there, one must think. One must glorify. And if you are talented in a musical instrument, to facilitate the mode or mood in which you're going to glorify, you play an instrument. But Narada is also now, by this association, experiencing multiple ecstasies, and he's experiencing the sattvika bhavs, which are involuntary spiritual responses to devotional impetuses. It's just, he can't control himself, and in such a condition, I'm basically reading from the purport now. If you have the book, you can look on too. He's playing, he cannot produce even a note, but he has to use the vina to stabilize himself. Otherwise, he feels he's going to fall on the ground. So now we have another 15, 20 minutes before questions, and we can read more purports and just listen to this wonderful narration. Sinara uvacha satyameva bhagavakripavara syaspadam nirupamam bhavantaram yogi nityam ahoho mahaprabhos chitta chitta bhajana ripanava. Narada said, yes, you are the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. No one can compare to you. Ah, you are always immersed in an ocean of ecstatic worship of the Lord, enjoying it newer and newer at every moment. Chitla, chitla. Newer and newer. Newer and newer. Bhajanamrita. Arnava, an ocean of bhajanamrita. An ocean of ecstatic worship. Commentary, Prem Bhakti Rasa is called Amrita because it destroys the disease of material existence and is unimaginably sweet. Hanuman always swims in an ocean of such nectar. So this word Amrita, same thing as Rasayana, was mentioned before in the previous verse. The nature of real mercy of worship of God is, it's the nectar, it's the medicine, and it's the nectar at the same time. And if we practice with sincerity, as Prabhupada mentions, or it's mentioned by Rupa Goswami in Upadeshamrita, that when one is diseased with the ailment, jaundice, then he loses his ability to taste, and that which is sweet is bitter. It is not that the sweet is bitter, it's that one is diseased. But the sweet or the sugar cane is the detox for someone with jaundice. So the thing that is tastes bitter but is actually sweet is actually the medicine. But by taking that, the disease goes, and you can relish the sweetness of the sugar cane. So at this level, it has the effect of being sweet like nectar and purificatory at the same time. And Hanuman is swimming in that. Dasya sakya babanam asanam vaja chatram vitanam Vajanam Chavandi Mantri Bhishagyota Pati Sahaya Shreshto Mahakirti Vivardhanascha. You are the Lord's servant, his friend, his carrier, his seat, his flag, his umbrella, his canopy, his fan. That's a fan that you make wind with, not like you root for him. You are his bard, his advisor, his doctor, his general, his best helper, the expander of his infinite glory. So, Hanuman, an artist summarizing the description of Prahlad's description, how he serves in a we'll read the purport. Here Narada summarizes Prahlad's description of Hanuman's glories. Hanuman serves Lord Ram in various ways. As the Lord's friend, he enjoys the Lord's confidence and affection. Unless Hanuman had this special relationship with Lord Ram, the Lord would never have dispatched him to Lanka to deliver his message and ring to Sita. Just like a battle flag, Hanuman always stood by the Lord's side. He was so tall that everyone could see him from a great distance. Seeing Hanuman first from afar, one can know that Lord Ramachandra is present. When Hanuman served as the Lord's vehicle, his mighty tail waved behind like a flag. The same tail also served as a royal umbrella, a sunscreen canopy, and a fan in the role of the Lord's bard. Hanuman sang the Lord's glories for his pleasure. Sometimes Hanuman carried out medical services, also treating the Lord's battlefield wounds, as Hanuman was the most adept of Lord Ram's monkey assistants. So he's devotional and expert. And sometimes expertise comes from devotion. Just like a mother becomes a good mother by her love, and that love guides her. And so, of course, it's not always the case. But whatever he has is given to God. And we'll just read a few more for today, and then we can. This is a beautiful purport coming on, very significant. Having surrendered yourself entirely to the Lord, having received his mercy, having dedicated your life to topics of his transcendental glories, you always increase the bliss of the devotees sheltered by him. You are the best of saints, even greater than others, like Garuda. So, we should search for people with these qualities, that sense of dedication. We may even think of people we know who, maybe not to the level of Hanuman, but who exemplify these qualities, dedicating their life to topics of the Lord's transcendental glory. Surrendered oneself entirely to the Lord. Commentary, Hanuman employed all his senses and abilities in Lord Ram's service. That's the point. Whatever he had, he gave to God. And that's what a saint is. There's nothing that Hanuman kept back for himself. And now this is the most significant sentence. Nothing was dear to him but that service. That was his taste. We mentioned, what is attachment? Attachment is memory of pleasure. So in a pure devotee's mind, the only attachment, the only memory he has of pleasure is the service of God. That's the only thing in his consciousness. Either he's descending from the spiritual world, and that's what a spiritual mind means, that there's no other attachment in the consciousness than the service of the Lord, or he's purified himself in this life by the practices, and the past life by the practices of Krishna consciousness, and got rid of anarthas. What does anarthas mean? Those things which have no value, the service of God, memories of other pleasures. That's at the pure platform. We know that in the process of Krishna consciousness, it's very, very practical. You may have so many other attachments for things, not for the service of God, but we know that we know the Dharma, the method of purifying them by working through them. This term Dharma means the science of responding to the data that comes into the mind from the world. So much data comes in, and then the mind identifies it, and the mind ascribes some feelings to it. But how to understand it, how to respond in the proper way. So we may have attachment, and they can be dovetailed in spiritual life. We can have desires that we can't give up, but they can be regulated according to Dharma so that we eventually become purified of them. The process of bhakti is not renunciation, it's dedication. So we're not just meditating on eradicating our desires. our meditation is on dedicating everything to God. But on the pure platform, it's no longer mixed with karma. It's not that we like to do this and we give it to God. The only attachment in the consciousness at the highest stage is attachment to the service of God. So he had no attachment to his body or anything related to his body. But the pure glories of Lord Ram he cherished more than even life itself. The symptom of devotion or bhakti is an attachment to chanting and glorifying. When you have devotion, your devotion is exactly commensurate with your desire to glorify the object of your devotion. Had he been deprived of hearing and chanting those glories while separated from the Lord, he would have died an instant death. Instead, it is well known that whatever Nam Katha is recited, Hanuman comes to listen. And if you understand the metaphysics of Sankhya, that mystic powers are within the realm of the composition of the world. They're not mystic on that level. But you know how to deal and operate with matter. That actually speaking, on a yogic platform, one can become omniscient. I described this before. It's omniscient on the material platform. You can have access to the mind, which is material. You can have access to others' minds. You can have access to everyone's mind. If one becomes free from ahankara, which delimits the consciousness to a particular body. To someone on the level of Hanuman, or on a level of purity, and a level on samadhi, this is possible. Where the Nam Katha is recited, Hanuman comes to listen. Or it could mean whenever the opportunity is there. He makes every endeavor to increase the bliss of Lord Ramachandra's devotees, both in ancient times and today. So it says today, because we understand, and this is purely from our Shastra, that great spiritual personalities, they're eternal personalities. They're not on the bodily platform. And therefore, we have access to them today, and they can also help us today. You can actually pray to great saints in the tradition, and their mercy is available. Why not? It says Hanuman's mercy is available today. You can pray to Hanuman, and you can have connection to Hanuman. Among the Lord's personal attendants, Hanuman is the most glorious, even greater than Garuda. The exalted Vaishnava Jamunacharya says, quote, you, Hanuman, are the Lord's servant, friend, carrier, seat, flag, canopy, and fan. You embody, one second here. You embody the three Vedas, even the presence of Garuda. You are graced with the honor of massaging the Lord's feet. Now I'm going to try to unmute everyone's phone so anybody who wants to ask a question can. If I also want to hear the pots and pans, then I can also get that pleasure now. Okay. Can anybody hear me now? How do I get out of this now?
Come on up, we can hear you.
Okay, I can hear all everything now. Okay. Anybody like to ask questions? You can still mute your phone, by the way. The questions can be there. Anybody like to ask a question? Would anybody like to ask a question? Okay, how do I do this, Rusty? I'm hearing everybody, but I don't know if they can hear me. Let me try something else.
We can hear you in New York.
You can hear me. Okay. People just don't want to say. Okay. Anybody want to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo, Nanda Dilal.
I have one question, Maharaj, you know.
Yeah.
When you were describing Hanuman, did Hanuman felt, you know, a little embarrassed when Narada was glorifying him?
Yeah. Okay. What's that?
No, did he feel shy when, you know, he was being glorified by Narada?
Yeah. Shy. Did you ask a question?
No. I can't hear you, Maharaj.
Did you ask a question?
Yes.
What's the question?
The question was, you know, when Narada Muni was glorifying him, then the Hanuman, he felt embarrassed, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the question, okay. Thank you. By the way, you can all mute your phones, star 6, unless you're asking the question. Otherwise, the question period will be the same. Anybody else like to ask a question? While we're waiting for someone to try to ask a question, would anyone like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Oh.
Hey, Hare Bo. Great class, Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Nice to hear from you, Shastra.
Hi.
I really lament that I'm not been able to get down there yet, but that will happen. It's just been going to a lot of places. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Govardhan.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, Hare Bo.
I'll see you on Saturday, Govardhan.
Yes, Maharaj. I would like to just invite all the Sangha members if they can make it for the Saturday
okay.
program.
Okay. So Govardhan is having a program at his house. If anybody's in the Northeast and nearby in New Jersey, you're welcome to come to his program. Okay, Hare Bo.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Okay.
Who's that?
I recognize my okay to my daughter. Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
This is Gail.
This is Gail minus the pots and pans today.
Hey, Gail, you don't know how much pleasure I get of muting that phone. I can control you now. Just mute the phone. Okay, you have a question, Gail?
No, Maharaj.
Okay.
Nothing basic that
okay.
you haven't
yeah.
tried to answer before.
You know, it's like a great...
Oh, I can't hear you. Oh, my God, it's an earthquake. I can't hear you. Wow.
Yeah, because no one now is muting their phone. Everyone's on at the same time.
I'm getting my karma today.
Gail, it was a great. We can make a movie searching for the unmuted phone, and then we finally discovered who it was. Okay.
I should have had a clue because I was the only one who wasn't hearing the disturbance.
Okay, Gail. Okay, anybody else today like to say Hare Krishna? Say hello.
I'm working on
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Hi, Bo. I'm here. Thank you.
And thank you for class. Wonderful class.
Thank you. I'm so happy with this new little toy that Rati gave me to mute everyone. He was trying to tell me. I just somehow couldn't see it. I always feel that technological things are more complicated than they are.
Yeah,
anybody
yeah,
else want to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Rasika in Austin.
Oh, Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Oh.
I wanted to mention, too, in regards to this phone thing, on the other
yeah.
call that I do,
yeah.
when you're finished to ask questions, nobody unmutes unless they're going to ask a question so it continues nicely.
And that's what we'll try. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was a
wonderful class. Thank you so much.
Well, it's so nice that people stayed on despite all the pots and pans over the years.
It was almost funny. It was like a drama.
But for me, to be able to just concentrate, because sometimes it gets technical.
Yeah.
But, you know, last Wednesday's was difficult for many reasons. I hadn't slept the whole day, and it was 9 o'clock. I had traveled.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to someone's house, and I kind of had to shift out of the social thing to study. But it's good. It's good. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Other people send sometimes emails, and so I get a general sense. So, who's on? Who's not? Okay, Rati, I may just give you a call quickly after this if you're still around. Okay, thank you all. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasta Kapasindu Bhayabhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.